Hey, welcome to episode 41 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
You can follow us on Twitter and YouTube at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable WFP. Please spread the word and get us some followers on Twitter and Instagram, because if you spread the word and we get more followers, that means we get closer to filling out that application over at Pro Wrestling Tees, where we need 5,000 Instagram and Twitter followers.
So that's not a combined number, right? That's 5,000 each.
No, 5,000 combined, like combined weight.
Oh, we can do that.
Yeah, we're itching our way up there, but I have some ideas for some shirts, so I want to get to that 5,000 mark.
There's absolutely every chance that we could totally hit that total combined weight of 5,000 followers. Come on. We can do that.
Oh, that's like earthquake and typhoon weight right there, dude.
Yeah. Total combined followers of 5,000. We could do that.
Yes. So make sure you pass this along and have them follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You can go back and listen to any of our past episodes on FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. Please rate and review on iTunes. That also helps out our algorithm. You can email us any questions, comments, wish list, sponsorship at FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com.
Yes, please.
Yes, and we're emphasizing the sponsorships. If you want, Zip Fizz. Hey, Zip Fizz.
Or Totino's Pizza Rolls.
They haven't hit us up, dude. I'm giving up on them.
Come on. Okay, how about Stouffer's French Bread Pizzas? Those are also as delicious.
I know, right? Those are so good, dude.
Or Costco.
Why Costco?
Why not Costco?
No, that's true. We need sponsorships. Whatever.
They have huge amounts of food. I'm okay with that.
Or San Francisco Giants?
That's what? Random. A baseball team supporting a wrestling figure podcast? What?
Why would Costco support us?
Well, at least that makes sense, because we can get our snacks and our dinner there.
That's true. They can pick up their Stouffer's.
Yeah.
Again, Scott, that's Fully Posable. W, and I think you're going to like this week. W as in Road Warriors.
Oh, good job.
F as in Fabulous Ones.
Oh, well, you're bringing it this week.
And P as in Impact Players.
Okay, dude, nice job this week. If I could stand and applaud, I would. I'm not going to, but you did really good this week.
Thank you. I actually was pretty stoked. I was like, I'm going all tag team.
Yeah, I love it. I'm looking forward to next week now.
Don't. Trust me, don't.
Your eye peaked.
Yeah, I peaked. I'm jumping the shark, dude.
You jumped the shark this week.
FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. Scott, before we go into the toy spotting news, I do want to say the past few weeks I've been promoting another podcast called Kayfabe Connection. The gentleman over there, his name is Fred. Fred turned the lights out on the Kayfabe Connection for reasons I completely understand. He was telling me the reasons. I was like, I get it, man. I get it. Which sucks, because I always got my New Japan news from him. I hope the lights are just dimmed and they will eventually come back on. Enjoyed your show. Thank you for the hours of entertainment over at Kayfabe Connection. And hopefully it'll come back soon.
Yeah, hopefully he is the Mick Foley of podcasts, where he walks away and will come back, or the Terry Funk, a.k.a. Batman.
Which actually, last Saturday, I sent a figure over to Fred. It was the Terry Funk Elite.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he wanted to pick it up, but he got hit with a couple of bills. And I was like, oh, dude, I'll just send you mine, man. You know, I've got an extra here. Take it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I sent him over one and he seemed pretty stoked about it. And actually, what was cool on his last episode, we were one of the last people he thanked. And
oh,
yeah, it actually meant a lot. You know, we've only been doing this for 41 episodes. And for him to even recognize us on his podcast, it was really, really cool.
Oh, that's really cool, man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
The Seth Rollins in white is on Amazon for $19.99. So I tweeted that out. I wanted to make sure a lot of our followers went and grabbed it.
Go buy it now.
Yes. As of this recording, he is still available for $19.99. I know that figure's going to be red hot. So go grab that figure. Scott, we did an unboxing video from Patrick at Tricep Meat. There was something that we did not notice in the box.
Yeah, so we did the unboxing video last weekend, and when we opened up the box, there were Enzo and Cass, as we expected, and there was a piece of cardboard basically propping up the package inside the box. So when I opened it up and pulled out Enzo and Cass, all I saw was the piece of cardboard underneath. So we did our unboxing video, recorded it, turned off the camera, and when I went to put them back in the box, I kind of had to shift the cardboard a little bit. And underneath that slip of cardboard was a loose Doink and a loose Mystery Mini Series 1 Ric Flair. And shocked, like, did he mean to put these in the box? Well, you reached out to him on Twitter, and it turns out that his niece, Skylar, who is also a listener of the show, thought that we would enjoy those loose figures, and so she herself put them inside the box at Tricep Meat, put the slip of cardboard over it, put Enzo and Cass on top of that slip of cardboard, taped it up, shipped it to us, and I can't tell you how much that touches me as a podcaster. It's still a weird thing that, like, people actually enjoy the show and are, like, in quotes, fans of the show. And to have a young fan like that, young Skylar, give us loose wrestling figures, it just, as a father, let me just say that that really touches me, and that meant the world. So that Doink and that Ric Flair are out in my wrestling ring in the garage that has all of my loose figures in it. And every time I go out to the garage to get something, I always look at my loose figures, and there's always going to be a soft spot in my heart for those specific two figures. Thank you so much, Skylar, and at Tricep Meat. It meant a ton. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was really cool. It was funny, dude. You're like, whoa, wait a second. What are these? And you pulled out the Ric Flair Blind Box Mini from Series 1.
Yes.
And the loose Doink. I think that, was it a Jax?
I believe it was a Jax Classic, yes.
Yeah. And so I was like, was that a mistake? So when I reached out to him, he's all, that was my niece, Skylar. She's 7 and we listen to the show together. And I was like, oh, dude, that's so awesome.
Oh, it is. My daughter, Peyton, is 7. So that age is just so much fun. And to know that we have a young fan out there that's as old as my youngest daughter, and that she's giving us wrestling figures, that just really touches me. And thank you so much. It makes me feel like $1 million. Like I said, they're out in my garage in my loose figure ring, prominently displayed. And every time I look at them, I'm going to think of you guys. Thank you very much.
Another thing I wanted to say is Christine on Twitter and our local fan, Sergio, actually have reached out to us because they know that we're having a tough time finding the Bailey exclusive.
Right.
And they've actually offered up their figures to send to us. And I'm like, hold on to them real quick. It's funny. I was telling the editor this the other night. It seems like all the network exclusive Baileys are hitting around the Bay Area. They're not hitting in the Bay Area. They're hitting right around the Bay Area. So Sergio found his in San Rafael.
Okay.
Christine is from Southern California.
Okay.
So it's like everybody's finding them except us here in the Hayward, Emeryville, which Emeryville's my hotspot.
Yeah, you always mention that's your go-to.
Yeah, it's been weak sauce lately. And Dublin. And we have had nothing as far as those. If you want a Roman Reigns Network exclusive or a Ringmaster Network exclusive, we got your hookup.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what's funny? Mentioning those network exclusive, I've noticed that the Big Boss Mans have dried up.
You know what? The Big Boss Man figures are selling good, man. Like, those things are moving. The very first Elite Boss Man was so hard to find.
Yes.
And now the network exclusive seemed to go off the shelves pretty quick. You can find the Triple H that came out with that Boss Man.
Yeah, Triple H, he's plentiful. But the Boss Man, who was also plentiful at one time, has totally dried up. But now we are completely stocked, like you said, out here in the East Bay and in the Valley. A ton of Roman Reigns, a ton of Ringmaster, a ton of Triple H. But no Bailey yet. Still looking. I've been on the hunt, and I know you have too.
Yeah, we went out to Emeryville on, actually, I'll get into my toy spotting. We went out to Hayward Toys R Us, Dublin Toys R Us on Saturday. There was nothing. And then Tuesday, we went back to Emeryville to hopefully something had dropped. And I walked out with a Madison Bumgarner, these new baseball figures that just came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I picked up Mad Bum, but didn't walk out with any wrestling figures.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I checked Dublin Toys R Us, and I think maybe that was the only toys, because last weekend I did Antioch and Modesto, so I've checked three different Toys R Us, no Bailey's, and of course I did the usual Walmart trip, and they still are actually pretty heavily stocked with the then now forever elites. They had plenty of Bigelow, Rock, and Tyler. I think they only had like one or two Rusevs left. But yeah, they're pretty well stocked. And, you know, again, they keep selling out of zombies and getting more zombies in. So despite our dislike of those specific figures, it does seem that they're going to have a growing fan base. And we'll see what happens when those mutants come out.
Yeah. And actually, one thing I did want to say is in Emeryville, across the street from the Toys R Us is a Target. So whenever we go there, we just run across the street and go check out Target also.
Uh-huh.
One thing I do want to say is we walked in and the Target was bone dry, dude. I think they only had a couple Undertaker defining moment. And they had 6 Four Horsemen sets.
Hey, if you happen to see a Four Horsemen set, I understand they're $15 right now. Could you grab one for me?
Well, that was the funny thing is the tag underneath said $44.99, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
Interesting. I would take it up to the scanner, because I'm seeing all over Twitter right now that that Four Horsemen set, and if you can find the Heenan family set, both of those are going for $15.
And actually, Target just kind of revealed another set. So that's in our news section. Why don't we hit up that news, Scott?
Way to tease it. Nice job. Let's talk about it.
I like that teaser.
Hey, you got a little lead in for us, huh?
Let's hit it up. You didn't know? Scott, with the Mattel news, speaking of Target, and I mentioned that in the previous segment, Target showed a little teaser in their, I want to say it's like their holiday ads.
Yes.
And it's a 4-pack of WCW back in 97, 98. For black and white NWO, it was Scott Hall.
Yep.
For the Wolfpack NWO, it was Kevin Nash. In the LWO, it was Eddie Guerrero. And representing WCW was Larry Zbysko, his very first figure since Repco.
So here's what I'm thinking with that 4-pack. People are going to be plucking the Larry Zbysko out. And really? Replacing him. Yeah, replacing him with some scrub and taking it back. Because really, my opinion on that 4-pack is really the only one I would want would be Larry Zbysko. Hall and Nash are in their jeans, and then the either the black and white NWO in Scott Hall's case or the black and red in Kevin Nash's case. The Eddie Guerrero is decent, but he's also in jeans and an LWO shirt.
Uh-huh.
Really, the only figure I want out of that would be Larry Zbysko.
It's an okay 4-pack. You ever had one of those days where whenever you speak, it seemed like everything you were saying was just not making sense to anyone else in the world?
Yeah, I have those days when I get like 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah, I had one of those days on Tuesday and I should have kept off social media.
Yeah.
So I was talking with somebody on Twitter and I said, I wish they would have put in the Giant, black and white, or sorry, WCW the Giant or something like that. And he goes, you could, but it's he's not in the Hall of Fame. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is a Hall of Fame 4-pack.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, I feel like an ass off that one. And I was like, well, then you could put in Mr. Perfect representing WCW, I guess, or something like that. You know, something, somebody that's in the Hall of Fame that could represent WCW.
Yeah, because really, Larry wrestled how many matches?
Exactly.
He wasn't, and they even put him in his wrestling attire. It's not even his announcing retire, announcing attire.
Right, right. And I was like, yeah. The 4-pack's okay. I don't like the Nash in that set.
I don't either.
Scott Hall looks like his battle pack.
Exactly.
The Eddie is underwhelming.
Yes, for an Eddie figure it is. You're exactly right.
And from the picture, the Zbysko was okay.
Yeah, it looks okay, but I think that a Zbysko figure would be better served as an elite, as a standalone elite with the AWA title.
And put them in the HOF series.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can see that particular four-pack that Target has shown us a picture of being a shelf warmer.
I agree also.
If they don't want it to be a shelf warmer, bring it out at $15. mark your Horseman and Hina family back up to regular price and put that one at $15. It'll move.
I bet you the figure that makes that set move is the Eddie.
Probably you're right. I don't think that there are enough Zabisco fans out there that are going to be able to want to spend $45 for his first Mattel figure.
This morning, SH Figure Arts came out with another series of their figures. The first series was Rock and Austin. If you remember those, Austin was down in the beer. Rock had the microphone. They showed two more figures today, and it was Undertaker and Vince McMahon. What'd you think?
I think they're awesome. I don't like the $60 price tag. I mean, I get why they're $60. They look awesome. They come with a crap ton of accessories. I'm probably not going to buy any of them, but if you want something different than your run-of-the-mill Mattel, your run-of-the-mill Classic Superstars Jax, this is definitely a cool figure. I would kind of put it online, not as expensive, but I would kind of put it online with that Hulk Hogan that we discussed quite a few podcasts ago that comes with all the accessories. It's like the $200 Hogan. I would kind of put these up there with that, and that it's a different looking figure, more one that you would display kind of on like a in a display case of sorts or up on a shelf.
Right, right. Now, they are $60, right?
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing all over the place, is that they are going to be in the neighborhood of $60. And remember, we've also seen Triple H as well.
We have?
Yeah, I think there's a Triple H floating out there of these as well.
Oh.
So we've seen Triple H, The Rock, Stone Cold, and now Undertaker and Vince McMahon.
Oh, I don't even remember the Triple H.
Yeah, there's a Triple H floating around out there as well. They all look great. Great sculpting. A lot of articulation. They are 100% fully posable.
No.
And they come with a ton of accessories. Pretty cool, man. I mean, if you have the extra coin to invest in something that's kind of different in your collection, I would highly recommend these. I'm personally going to pass on them. I don't have $60 to spend on one figure. I would rather spread that out over a couple of FTCs or like three elites. But if you've got the extra coin, these are awesome.
Vince comes in a light gray suit, tie, nice dress shirt. Taker is in his traditional black outfit. So they look pretty good. Taker actually is missing some tattoos.
Yeah, that's kind of a miss for me. If you're going to make an icon like The Undertaker, man, you better nail his tats.
And throw the $60 price tag on it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're going to make an Undertaker like that, he's the icon of the WWE, man. You've got to make all of his tattoos be there.
And then also today, people were finding a WWF replica championship belt at Toys R Us or TRU, and it's a $100 price tag.
That's certainly a lot cheaper than a $400 price tag.
Boy, we have come a far way from foam belts, haven't we?
Yeah. Which they still make.
They still do.
Yeah, this couldn't come out at a better time. You got Halloween right around the corner. They've got a nice $100 belt out there that, I mean, a lot of people scoff at the $400 price tag of getting an actual WWE title. But for $100, you know, this kind of opens the window for a lot of people that don't have $400, but for $100, I'll get it. And apparently, it's got some good weight to it, so it's actually good quality. Like, it's going to feel like you're wearing a heavyweight title. So, yeah, man, again, if you've got some extra coin, something like this, I mean, the packaging is cool. You can take it out of the package if you want, wear it with your wrestling costume. It's pretty sweet.
Remember when I was a kid, I had to have the tag team foam belt?
Of course you did. It was the tag team foam belt.
Oh, I love that. No, I love that thing. I used to carry that thing around during summer vacation all the time, dude.
When mom and dad would go shopping and we'd wrestle in the house, I think you must have clocked me over the head with that thing like 20 times.
You were legit concussed, dude.
Yeah, you concussed me on several occasions.
Straight shoot, brother.
Yeah.
Scott, FTC news, what you got?
Yes, FTC had their weekly reveal, and they introduced somebody out of their Rising Stars line that I know Mike the Cleaner is going to be very excited about. Kenny Omega finally was shown by FTC this week, and I think the figure looks awesome.
I do too. One thing I was telling someone, I was talking to someone on Twitter about it. I knew that Kenny's hair was going to be tough to get.
It is. It's crazy hair.
Yeah, because they were saying, oh, they didn't capture Kenny. Something's off with it. And I was all, is it the hair? And they're like, yeah, that's part of it. And I was all, Kenny has crazy hair as it is.
Yeah.
So trying to capture it, I think FTC did a good job of capturing it.
I agree with you. That's a hard thing to do. I mean, if I was a sculptor and I came across that portrait, I'd be like, how in the hell am I going to get this hair to translate? But for what they were given, I think that FTC really, I agree with you, did a good job on this figure. I like the face. I like the hair. From what we've seen in the renderings is he's going to have the long black jacket on. I couldn't really tell from the picture, but he's going to have the long black jacket on. And so far from what I've seen, awesome looking figure. And he will be in the Rising Stars line.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Christy Petrillo from Figures Toy Company actually tweeted Mike the Cleaner regarding it too.
Yes, he did, which I thought was awesome.
I thought that was cool. I knew Mike the Cleaner was going to go AWOL for it, dude.
Yeah, he's the biggest Kenny Omega fan that I know. So that was just neat that FTC kind of mentioned him in a post. But I'm excited about, not as excited as Mike, but I am excited for the Kenny Omega figure.
I am too. That will be a purchase for me.
Yes, absolutely for me too.
So, Scott, that wraps up our news this week. Pretty quick news week.
We've had worse.
Oh, we've had a lot worse, man.
That wasn't too bad.
We're extending out your surprise question this week.
Aw.
But first, we need to get into Jack's Classic Series 6. This is actually a long list.
Yes, it is.
So what do you say we jump into it?
I love it. Let's talk about it. I came to play. There's a price to pay.
Tough for you to get down on your knees. Scott, Jack's Classic Series 6. The more I remember these, the fonder the memories get for me.
The more you love them.
Yes. So why don't you hit up Series 6?
Jack's Classic Superstars Series 6 consisted of 9 figures. You had Hawk and Animal, and they were in their blue shoulder pads, which were different from their 2-pack, in which they were in their red shoulder pads. Coco Beware, who had yellow tights and did come with Frankie pre-fire.
Oh, too soon?
Then you also had...
Too soon, yeah.
Probably not. And then you had Doink. You had Shawn Michaels, another Shawn Michaels. This one was in his black vest, and he had black and white tights on and came with the icy belt and shades. You had another Andre the Giant that looked a lot like Series 1 Andre. You had Earthquake, One Man Gang, and Bobby Heenan. And that rounded out Jack's Classic Superstars Series 6.
What was your favorite?
Well, you know, I'm going to have to go Road Warriors on that one.
Even with the blue, huh?
Yeah, I can't not say the Road Warriors. I didn't mind the blue, and Mattel has since done a battle pack with the Legion of Doom or the Road Warriors in their blue. Jax definitely did it better. But yeah, I'm such a huge Road Warriors fan, and I couldn't get enough Road Warriors action figures. I think at one time or another, I've sold some off here and there, but at one time or another, I think I've owned almost every single U.S. release Legion of Doom or Road Warriors action figure. So yeah, I'm going to say those were definitely my favorite out of this set. Honorable mention definitely goes to Earthquake and One Man Gang.
Yes, I actually have the One Man Gang autographed, and he has one of the best autographs I've ever seen.
He does have a cool autograph. Yes, he does.
He puts the Punisher logo on there.
Yes, I love that.
I do too. Guilty, my favorite figure, Coco.
Yeah, you do like you some Coco figures, huh?
His figure was awesome. I thought it was great. I thought coming with Frankie, he had the yellow crop top hair. It was just a good figure.
Yeah, no, the Coco is an excellent figure out of this set. Poor Coco, you know, he hasn't had a ton of wrestling figures. They did him in the LJN line. They did him in Hasbro. And we really didn't see another Coco really until this Jax Classic, and they really did it justice. They did a great Coco figure.
Yeah, they really, really did.
And I wish Mattel would come to the table with something of theirs for Coco.
Well, they were supposed to.
Yes, they were, and for some reason or another, not announced, or it's off the table.
It was supposed to be Elite Series 44 with Sasha that they were supposed to release Coco, and then all of a sudden they just pulled him.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. I don't know why they would not make a Coco figure. He seems to sell pretty well. I know I had a hard time finding this Jax Classic on the shelves.
As did I. Bobby Heenan looked great. I thought they did a great job capturing Bobby in this. He had a white shirt with a black suit on, but the white shirt was unbuttoned like Bobby used to wear. It was great.
Vintage Bobby.
Vintage Bobby. Andre looked the same. I was never a fan of that style Michaels.
Yeah, it was okay. They've done better Michaels for sure. Yeah, that's kind of a middle of the pack HBK as far as I'm concerned.
Because it was almost like his deluxe classic that came out.
Yeah, and this series for me was a good mix of, you had some guys that had been in LJN, some guys that had been in the Hasbro line. You had a lot of older names in there. So this to me was still truly representative of what I would consider to be a Jax classic superstar. You had those guys from the 80s and the 90s. And that for me was hitting all the right notes with classic superstars. So I loved Series 6.
Yeah, me too. So that rounds out Jax Classic Series 6. Eventually, we're going to have to get to those tag teams, those two packs.
We will. And I think after we discuss my favorite series, which was number 8, we will definitely be talking about those tag teams.
I'm all in favor of that. And now it's time to get to a segment that you're not in favor of.
Man, every week with you, I swear.
Scott, it's time for your surprise question. It does not come from a listener this week. It will come from me.
Fine, bring it.
Scott, your surprise question. Before we get into it, we also did another unboxing video that is up on our YouTube channel with AJ Styles. Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler, we unbox AJ. That was a lot of fun, and it's funny when you're recording those things, you can't plan in advance as to what's going to go down when you take a figure out of the package. But the vest or the jacket accessory that comes with that AJ, there are some technical difficulties with the zipper. And when I got home, after we'd recorded, you and the editor both kind of messed with it, and we couldn't get it to work. As soon as I got home, because remember, we couldn't get it to unzip.
Right.
As soon as I got home, unzipped, no problem.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but here's the problem, is I could not get that vest to zip back up. So right now, I went ahead and packaged it back up, which I love about the FTC figures. But I did have to leave the jacket unzipped, because for the life of me, oh, who knows, maybe my 7-year-old who plays with dolls all the time could zip that jacket up for me. I could not get that thing. I could not get the zipper to join and zip back up. So my AJ, as displayed, is going to be an unzipped jacket with the hood up. So still looks awesome inside the packaging, but be warned that if you are going to open your AJ, you might have some issues with that jacket.
Yeah. You know what's funny is you asked me when I got that figure, you asked me if you took it out of the package, I wonder if your number would be like a 7 or would it be an 8?
Yeah, would you round up or round down?
The reason that that figure is not a 9 with me is because of the jacket. I wish the jacket was easier, and I know some other people were complaining about the jacket. But the detailing on that figure, it jumped up like a point and a half for me.
Yeah, especially when you could see the AJ tattoo on the side.
Yep.
That they just nailed. And I hope that came across in the video, because we could not get the jacket off for the life of us during the course of that video.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they really nailed all of the finer points of the AJ Styles look. But the only complaint I have is that jacket. Maybe if they had used a bigger zipper of some type, like bigger links, it would be easier to zip up and down. But that thing, they made it so finely detailed that the links are so tiny. It joins together like a real jacket, but I could not get it to zip back up. So like I said, my displayed AJ Styles has the vest unzipped.
Well, yeah, like when we were, after we stopped recording the video, we tried to unzip the jacket and we couldn't even get it unzipped.
Yeah, for the sake of not ripping it, we were being pretty gentle with it. But yeah, when yeah. I left your place, dude, we just could not get that thing to work. So if there is a knock on the AJ, it's the jacket. But the rest of the figure, if you're going to leave it in the package, it is amazing.
But if you ask me, I would rather have the jacket than a plastic Polly Pocket type clothing.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Like I said, the only thing that I think could make that jacket better is if, like I said, the links were bigger that join at the zipper.
Yeah.
So at that zipper joint, if the links were bigger, I think that would help its cause. But being that the zipper is so tiny, it really just makes it almost impossible to zip that thing back up.
Yeah, that figure is so good. Like, just holding it, I was like, okay, this figure is really, really good.
Yeah, it's excellent.
I couldn't decide if it was going to be a 7 or an 8. It actually is about an 8.5. If that jacket zipper would just work, that figure would be a 9, 9.5 in my book.
Absolutely. And you did mention that you noticed that the head was a little bit loose when you took yours out of the box, out of the shipping box, not the actual package that the figure comes in.
Right.
But you, just in shaking the packaging, noticed that the head was a little bit wobbly. We did notice that to an extent with my AJ, but it's not too bad. It's really not too bad.
It doesn't bother you?
No, not at all.
Oh,
not
okay.
at all. Again, I'm not playing with it though. So if, you know, you're spending $30 to buy an action figure that you're going to play with, I don't know how sturdy that head is to stay on, you know, through the course of like rugged play if you're a little kid. But I mean, as far as like the collector market, which I think we kind of service a little bit more, would be the collector market. Awesome figure, highly recommended.
Well said, Scott, but you're still not getting out of your question.
See, every week I throw you these curveballs to try to get you off of the scent of the secret question.
Well, I think you're actually going to have fun with this question, because I think it's a question that a lot of people have an opinion on.
Okay, good. Bring it then. I'm looking forward to this one.
All right. I don't know about you, but in my eyes, I feel that professional wrestling is in a down period.
Really?
I do.
In terms of booking or financially or ratings?
Ratings. It seems like, and I'll give you an example in a sec, it just seems like not that many people are into it.
Okay.
As far as the younger kids, I'll give you an example. I asked your daughter, my niece, if any kids are wearing wrestling t-shirts or say they like wrestling at school. She said no.
Right.
I asked your oldest daughter, the teenager.
Yes.
I asked her if any kids watch wrestling or wear wrestling t-shirts at her school, at her high school. She said no. You and I went to dinner with a friend that we haven't seen in ages.
Yes.
And he brought his two kids. And I asked the son, I said, are any of your friends or anybody at school wear wrestling t-shirts or watch wrestling? And he looks at me and he goes, no. So as outside of our world where we talk to a lot of wrestling fans.
Yep.
It seems like wrestling is at a down period. It seems like no one is really coming aboard. You know how Austin and Rock just grabbed fans and brought them aboard?
Yes.
It seems like nobody's being brought aboard.
And see, that would go against the whole PG movement, though, because the whole point of the PG movement was to kind of bring it down so the younger audience could watch it, and it wouldn't just be relegated to like the 18 and older crowd.
Right, right.
So the PG movement apparently has not worked. In our very small sample survey, the PG movement has not worked.
That's true. And it seems to me that like ratings are down.
Well, yeah, that's clear. Yes, they are.
The only thing that seems to be on the rise is indie wrestling. It seems like indie wrestling is kind of going up. I'm going to say it's kind of at a stalemate right now. Because when you had indie wrestling and you had Generico and you had Steen and you had Roderick Strong and you had all these guys that you see on Raw right now.
Yep.
It seems like indies is kind of at a stalemate right now. Like they're waiting for that next boom period.
Oh, well, right. I mean, you have to figure that all the guys that were making indie wrestling popular 4 or 5 years ago are now on the WWE product. So indie wrestling needs to, and I think they're doing a good job, as evidenced by PWG and Bowl of Weekend. They're doing a good job of building the next big crop of guys that are going to be on the independent circuit. Just right now, it's been kind of cleaned out. You know, WWE has taken most of those guys. So I would agree with you that indie wrestling might be a little, like you mentioned, stale right now. But it's only going to get better. But I would agree with you about WWE ratings being down and not enough kids with eyes on the product.
Actually, I'm not going to say indie wrestling is stale. I'm saying it's kind of leveling off right now, waiting for that next boom.
Yeah, it's not as hot as it was, say, 2-3 years ago.
Correct. Now, regarding WWE and the ratings, here's my personal opinion. When we were kids and teenagers, we didn't have that many cable channels.
Right.
We basically had Disney Channel, ESPN, TBS, USA. That was about it, wasn't it?
That was about it. And thank goodness we had USA and TBS, because that pretty much occupied our Mondays and Saturdays.
Yes, it did. And you had your basic local channels.
Yes.
There wasn't much on TV to take away our attention from wrestling.
Right.
Now let's fast forward to 2016, where we can't keep technology out of our hands.
Right.
We have Netflix. We have Hulu. We have network. We have WWE networks. Now we also have over 1,000 channels.
Yep.
On top of that, we also have wrestling figure podcasts that also takes our attention away.
Yes, exactly. And it's killing football ratings, by the way, too. Our show drops on Sunday. Ratings are down. I'm just saying. This is our first year in the podcast business, folks. I think it's hard to argue with that.
So my personal opinion is I think that there's so much on TV right now, plus with WWE oversaturating with 3 hours, then 2 hours on SmackDown the following night, I think there's a lot going on, you know?
So what you're saying is that you think that there's too much competition for wrestling to be a viable option for kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't have, for you, Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah. Still recuperating from that episode, by the way.
By the way, Glenn died.
God, dude, don't spoil stuff for people that haven't watched it yet.
Dude, it's like 4 or 5 days later. When this show drops, it's going to be a week. If they don't know, then...
That's not right, dude. I'm just saying, you're going to get some backlash for that.
Get some heat. Get some heat with the boys, you know?
Right.
By the way, I've never watched one episode of The Walking Dead. I don't even know who Glenn is.
He was a beloved character that has been there since season one, and they took him from us. Damn it.
Oh.
Still recovering, by the way.
Okay.
By the way, I saw a really good meme today on Facebook that I had to share out. It was Rick talking to his son, Carl, and he's asking Carl what Glenn's favorite restaurant is. And Carl's like, "No, Dad, please stop." And it's like, "No, Carl, I asked you, what's his favorite restaurant?" And he's like, "No, Dad, please." And he goes, "Popeyes." Because in the show, and actually in the comic book, Glenn gets bludgeoned with a baseball bat and one of his eyeballs pops out. So his favorite restaurant is Popeyes.
So that's why. Okay. I've never watched one episode. I'm like, does he like chicken? What's going on?
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, Popeyes, we're open for sponsorship.
Yes, we will gladly accept sponsorship, Popeyes.
Yes, and we will be more than happy to go on The Talking Dead.
Your spicy chicken is delicious.
Yeah, and Scott will go on The Talking Dead. Scott will go for the Wrestling Figure Podcast.
Yes, eating Popeyes chicken. Or Totino's Pizza Rolls, or 5-Hour Energy, whoever wants to throw us a sponsorship deal.
5-Hour Energy sponsoring the Usos, dude. I don't think we can compete.
Yeah. Right.
So anyways, my personal opinion is I think that there's too much to take our attention away. I think only a handful of TV shows nowadays are actually able to capture an audience. Big Bang Theory still pulls in, what, 15 to 20 million viewers?
A lot of people still watch that show, yes.
So anyways, that's my personal opinion, dude.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, you know, the argument has always been made, or I should say, it's actually not even an argument, really. It's more like the fact has always been made that wrestling has been cyclical, meaning that it runs in cycles. So you had Hulkamania, which is when I got into wrestling, is when Hulkamania was at its boom, when you and I got into wrestling. And then that was followed by the horrible, like, 91, 92, all the way until about mid-96.
Yeah.
That horrible drop in wrestling, and it was really low. And then NWO came on the scene, And the Attitude Era struck, and boom, it took off again. And probably died off in about, what, 2001, 2002, somewhere in there?
There was a big drop in 2001, 2002. I think the crash kind of hit in 07, I would say, around the Punjabi period, prison match.
Ugh. I'd hate to blame that, but gosh. But, you know, we've never had anything, and again, this is my personal opinion, we've never had anything since the NWO and the Attitude Era that has really made people want to watch the products. Like, oh man, everybody's talking about this. I need to watch it. There's been no lightning in a bottle. Lightning has not struck twice. You know, it just hasn't happened. And I'm kind of waiting on that next big boom to hit. I just don't know when it's going to happen. As far as like what has caused the downturn, don't you think it walks hand in hand with the internet a little bit?
What do you mean?
How quickly you can get access to spoilers and news. And I mean, how many people are not watching Raw, but just getting the results online?
That's a good point.
You know, why should I have to watch the product? You know, and when you're DVRing it, you're fast forwarding through most of the matches anyway, or a lot of the interview segments. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different things. It's a different time now. You know, again, I point to the whole wrestling running in cycles, and I'm hopeful that that next big boom will hit sooner rather than later. But if it doesn't, I think this is just kind of the new state of wrestling. You know, 3.0 ratings for Raw. 2 point something ratings for SmackDown.
Try 1 point something for Raw a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know.
You know, and basically zeros across the board for TNA. I think that's just the new norm for wrestling.
Okay.
I hate that. I really do, because I do want that next big boom to hit. I don't know.
One other thing, and this is just kind of a personal opinion. I also think they need to take scripts out of the wrestlers' hands and let them cut their own promos.
Well, that's really what they did during the Attitude Era, and we see how that worked out. So I would agree with you 100% on that. Stop scripting. Let the guys be themselves.
Yeah. Roman Reigns would never say suffer and succotash.
Nobody would say suffer and succotash. Vince, come on.
Oh, that was terrible.
Garbage.
All right. That wraps up your surprise question this week.
All right.
That wasn't so bad.
Nah, that wasn't too bad.
Yeah. This week we have the signing story. We ran a poll this past week. People seem to like the signing story and who did it best.
Not so much Wishlist, huh?
Wishlist got 0%. I think it's almost time we retire it.
Zero. Okay, well then let's make it official right now. Wishlist is officially retired.
Should we do one more Wishlist?
I don't think anybody wants us to do one more wish list. I think they've made that abundantly clear with a 0% vote.
It was tied 40-40 with a signing story and who did it best. And then it was a 20% of it's time to come up with a new segment.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so get your brain working. We got to think of a new segment.
All right, well, we just did who did it best, so we'll definitely think of another one figure related.
This week, it's the signing story. We will officially retire this wish list as of right now. RIP wish list.
RIP. Let's not wish.
So let's get into the signing story. Scott, this week it is the signing story. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I think I'll go first this week.
Okay, go for it.
My signing story for this week is about the lovable green-tongued George the Animal Steele.
Okay.
I met him back in, I believe it was 2009. It was at the same signing that I've told the story about Dr. Death and Million Dollar Man. Mm-hmm. George Steele was also at that signing. I think it was also Honky Tonk Man, Chris Masters, the Million Dollar Man, George Steele, Tito Santana, Dr. Uh-huh. Death. It was a pretty good signing. It was in Lodi, of all places, out here in California. But George Steele was there, and I had a classic superstars of his that I really wanted to get signed. Loved George Steele when I was a kid. He wasn't my favorite, but he helped Ricky Steamboat win the Intercontinental title. So, you know, soft spot in my heart for the guy, even though he was kind of pervy toward Elizabeth. I forgave him for that. Wanted to meet him. And so I got their super ticket, which I think in back in 09, gosh, it was probably like $60. And that got like everybody's autograph. It was awesome. So yeah, I took my figure in to meet George. And I believe he was in the second block of signings. The first block was Ted DiBiase, Dr. Death, and Tito. And Animal was in the second batch of signings of guys later in the day. And just as nice as could be, I got up to him. And, you know, he was chatting with people about his old wrestling stories and the green tongue, about him being a teacher. Just really personable guy. Signed the figure. Nothing memorable about the signature itself. But what I do remember is a young kid, maybe 8 years old, 7 years old, something like that, really young, went up to him, and he was walking with a WWF encyclopedia.
Uh-huh.
And so he opened right up to George Steele's picture, asked Animal if he'd sign it, which of course he did, and then Animal asked the kid to come around to his side of the table, and he basically sat the kid on his lap and was like, okay, tell me what you know about this encyclopedia. And dude, this kid, I think, knew more than you and I combined.
What?
He was like a little walking, talking WWF encyclopedia. The kid knew his stuff. And I remember just watching him and George interact. And the Animal was just blown away. He's like, you got to be kidding me. Not even I knew that. And he'd look it up in the book. And sure enough, the kid was right. And like the kid had like memorized the encyclopedia. And I mean, at this point, like there's now a crowd of people my age, like adults, like just kind of hovering around the situation, listening to them and watching them interact. And it's the only time I saw that during the course of the day. And as I mentioned, there were quite a few guys there, quite a few talents there. Uh-huh. And George was the only one that really took the time like this with the kid. And everybody was just blown away, not only with the kid, but how nice the Animal was in dealing with him. And you remember seeing him on TV back in the day. He was eating turnbuckles and biting people and lurking around and being pervy with Miss Elizabeth. Like, but he was completely out of character, just being the nicest guy. And that is what I take away from that signing, is just watching that interaction with George and that little kid.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah, it was a fun day. Really had a fun day.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What other knowledge was the kid spitting at him?
Gosh, you know, it was like 7 years ago, so I don't really remember, but like George was asking him questions about like, you know, Ricky Steamboat or Macho Man or the Intercontinental title and what day did the change happen, and like the kid knew all of it.
Oh, wow.
All of it. And he's telling George things that were in the encyclopedia, and George is like, I don't remember that. And he'd look, and sure enough, there it is.
Huh.
Yeah, it was great.
Do you remember when you and I would be in line for Space Mountain, and we would just start reeling off the Intercontinental Champions up until about 99 or 2000?
Yeah, I think we could start at Tito and go all the way to about 2000 with it.
Well, Tito won it from Valentine.
Yes. Yes, and then I believe Valentine won it back, and then Tito won it back from him, so they switched it a couple times.
And then Savage.
Then Savage, and then we could just keep going and going, and I think we could run it all the way to about 2000.
Yeah, we used to do this all the time when we would go to Disneyland. We'd be standing in line, because lines at Disneyland are just ridiculous, and especially during the summer. So we'd be sitting there and be like, okay, Savage beat Santana. Steamboat beat Savage. Honky beat Steamboat. And then we just start going off, dude.
Yep, but there were like three or four of us. And so if one of us would be like, what was it? Somebody else would remember and be like, it was so-and-so. And oh, yeah, and then we could keep going.
Yeah, because we used to do that with all the titles.
Yeah, every one of the titles.
Yeah, because we would be... it was mainly you and I, and then we would have to fact check because we wouldn't have our phones. You know, we didn't have internet at that time on our phones.
Yes, we didn't have smartphones back then.
Yeah, exactly. We would be able to go up to about 99 or 2000. That's when everything got crazy. Like, belts were flip-flopping hands, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, and in my opinion, that's when a lot of those titles started to lose their value, too. It didn't mean as much when somebody won a title because it would turn into a situation where, like, oh, okay, well, this guy's champion. He's probably going to lose the belt next week or, you know, the very next pay-per-view, which happened a ton.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like in the 80s or even like the 70s where a guy would win a title and he had a lengthy title run, which is why I tend to like ROH's title situation a lot, because when a guy wins a belt, it's a huge deal when there's a change.
Right. That's like what happened when us in Atlanta, when the world's greatest tag team beat the Kings of Wrestling. You
that
and
still
I were
hurts.
You and I were sitting there. We had our hands on our heads. It was like, you can see it in the video too. We're like,
yep.
Oh, what?
It's on the DVD, man. We're just in shock. Not only because, you know, ROH tag titles don't change hands very often, but because we really didn't see World's Greatest Tag Team beating the Kings of Wrestling.
Right, right.
And plus, we loved the Kings of Wrestling. They're like our favorite tag team, so.
Yeah, exactly. My signing story goes back to Santa Clara in 2015.
Okay, for 31.
For WrestleMania 31. I was making the trip from Alameda over to San Jose. I'd say we did about three or four trips back and forth.
Yes.
Just bringing figures to the place, back home, dropping them off, taking a nap, going back, you know, just stuff like that. So this one actually revolves around WrestleCon. And
okay.
Drew McIntyre, Drew Galloway, was signing autographs, and I had his Elite Series 9, I believe, Drew McIntyre figure that came had white shorts, came with the IC title. And a couple months before, he had just debuted with TNA. On his debut, he pulled out a lead pipe from his jacket, and he was fighting off, I can't remember the group he was fighting off, and that's going to bother me, but I can't remember who it was. It was Low-Key, MVP. Oh, I can't remember the group that was their name. So when Drew started swinging the pipe, he actually nicked Low-Key around the ear. And straight shoot, Low-Key was gushing blood out of his ear.
Oh.
It was disgusting, dude, how much blood came out from around his ear. So I get up to Drew after finally tracking him down and I asked him about it, and Drew Galloway is the nicest guy. I wouldn't say the nicest. Piper and Kevin Steen are the two nicest guys we've ever met, but Drew was just so nice. He was like, yeah, I didn't know this, but I guess they had just cut that pipe earlier in the day or a day before.
Oh.
And I guess they didn't file it down, and I guess there was a sharp edge, and when he swung it, Low-Key kind of ducked, and he wasn't expecting him to duck. He nicked Low-Key around the ear, and Low-Key, as everybody saw on TNA, was just gushing blood.
Ugh.
Drew was like, uh-oh, you know, this is my first day here, you know? I was like, oh man, did you get heat in the back? And he goes, Low-Key was a little upset, but it was cool. He signed the figure. Again, at this time, I didn't know about paint pens. It wasn't until we went to the page signing in September that I discovered paint pens.
Right. Right. At the Comic-Con.
At the Comic-Con. So anyways, it was, I gotta say, Drew was really, really cool. He was awesome about going over what happened, and you know, he didn't know that pipe, they just handed him a pipe and said, here you go. You know, he didn't know it had been cut. I think it was either that morning or the day before.
Wait, and TNA didn't have their stuff together? You're kidding. That's so unlike them.
What, they're not paying talent? What? So anyways, that is my signing story for this week.
Nice. I like Drew McIntyre a lot, man. I wish WWE would have done more with him.
Well, he came in and he had basically the golden ticket handed to him. And for some reason, when him and his ex-wife got into that fight,
yep,
it was like, all of a sudden, it was like, okay, now you're in the doghouse and we're never going to do anything with you again.
Yeah, that completely derailed the Drew train, and that sucked.
Yeah, big time. Because I was a huge fan of what him and Matt Hardy were doing, too.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was great TV on SmackDown. I thought they were nailing it.
Yep.
So that is my signing story for this week. One more person we got to thank, John Ledesma. He has been hitting us up on Twitter every time the Seth Rollins and White goes for $19.99 on Amazon. So I want to thank him too for also keeping us informed. And
thank you, John.
Yep. And we always retweet it so our other listeners are informed also. So, Scott, for episode 41, that wraps it up. Anything else?
Happy toy hunting.
Hashtag fig life. Adios.